Okay, good evening. So we're up to the last part, at least for now, of our practical lesson of baking. We're going to talk actually more about cooking tonight than baking. And the question which kept coming up when we discussed everything else was the issue of how we relate to things that are pariv, neither meat nor dairy, how exactly we relate to them. So we need a little bit of background that's very technical. And whether we get that background or not, we can still get the halachos out of it, but it's hard to, you know, just list off the halachos without explaining a little bit. It's one of the most difficult simanim in Shulchan Aruch in terms of the halachos of basar b'chalav, because it really relates to every other aspect of the halachos of basar b'chalav until it all comes together when it comes to parav, and I'll try to explain why. I'm going to try to do this with a case. I mentioned at the end last time that I was approached by this yeshiva, Pirchei Shoshanim, about teaching this kosher kitchen course that goes through every aspect of the kosher kitchen. So I had asked them maybe to send me one of their lessons and on this topic, and we can see how it goes a little bit. I'm not going to do it in detail because I think it's too detailed. But the way they present it is they always present a case of a person asking a rabbi a question to begin with. So we'll start with their case, which really mimics the case that the Gemara has. So it says there was commotion. The head of the women's auxiliary, Mrs. Lefferts, entered the kitchen. Rabbi, Rabbi, is there a rabbi in the kitchen? Here I am. How can I help you? Rabbi, I just saw one of the helpers take the fish off the grill and put it on a serving dish from the meaty set of dishes. Okay, off the grill onto the meat dishes. Doesn't he know that the fish will be served with a dairy meal? Now that the fish is meaty from the plate, how can we serve it with dairy? Right? Case was the person, the grill, for all intents and purposes right now, was pariv. The fish is pariv. But the hot fish was taken off of the grill, and while it was hot, was put onto a milchik plate. Onto a fleshik plate, correct. You're listening. Onto a fleshik plate, but it's going to be served with a milchik meal. So Mrs. Lefferts is beside herself. So it says, calm down, Mrs. Lefferts. We'll explain the different important points that are relevant. So it goes like this. This case was really a Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara and Chulin has a case of fish that was put onto a meat plate, exactly this case, and it's a machlokas if you can then eat it with cheese or not. So it's two opinions in the Gemara, but here the Gemara conveniently for us tells us what the halacha is. And the Gemara says that dogim she'alu b'ka'ara, if you have fish which was put onto a fleshik plate while it was hot, it's a something which the taste of the milk could theoretically, the meat could theoretically get into the fish. So in this case, the Gemara tells us that halacha is that when if you have this fish which was put when it was hot onto this fleshik plate, you're allowed to eat it together with cheese. That's the halacha. Okay. The problem is that there is basically a three-way machlokas rishonim, which is dealing with the following question. Why is the Gemara, and the premise of this Gemara basically is that when you cook a piece of meat in a pot, so the meat is what we call no same time. It puts its flavor, it infuses its flavor into the walls of the pot. And then the pot becomes fleshik, now you have a meat pot. The question is, what happens if you have what we would call a secondary taste, what the Gemara refers to as no same time, bar no same time. No same time, the child of no same time. It's two steps removed, such as a case where you cook something, you cook the meat in the pot, the flavor of the meat is now absorbed into the pot, and then you cook something else, what we would call pariv, in the meat pot, and now the taste of the meat is leaving the pot and is going into the pariv item. So it's not, the meat isn't directly infusing its taste into the pariv item, they weren't cooked together. But its flavor went into the walls of the pot. That's one step. That's the primary infusion. And then, as a second step, it then goes from the pot into the pariv item. So that's this issue is we'll be referring to constantly of not bar not, of no same tam, again, not nun test is a Rashi Tevos for no same tam, bar no same tam. So the question is, if the Gemara wanted to teach us this halacha, that if you have no same tam, bar no same tam, that here also, the fish is parav, it's being put on a fellatio plate. So what that means is that the fish now, the taste that's going from the plate into the fish is also a secondary flavor. Because the plate, there's no meat on the plate right now. The meat has given its flavor into the plate, and now the plate is going to be potentially giving that flavor back into the fish. It's two steps removed.
Is this a different circumstance than actually cooking?
So that's exactly what the question is. If the Gemara was trying to teach us that every case where it's a secondary infusion of flavor is going to be okay, so why did the Gemara tell us the more simple case, which would be cooking? That's the classic parav case. This case seems to be a little bit more convoluted. So why did the Gemara give us this case? And that's sort of the question that the Rishonim are bothered by. And because in trying to address this question, there are three opinions in the Rishonim. Tosfos says that it's specifically referring to this case. Only in a case of putting it onto the plate, and then the flavor from the plate goes into the fish, only in that case would we say that it's allowed to be eaten together with cheese. But if you would have cooked it in a fleshic pot, then we wouldn't say it. Then we would say that you're not allowed to eat that part of item that was cooked in a fleshic pot together with cheese. That's the opinion of Tosos. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. Rashi says that it's even talking about a case in which it was cooked. The Gemara mentioned one possibility, but it's not limited. The Gemara is teaching us the rule. Why it chose one case over the other, I don't know. But the same thing is true. In any case, when it's a secondary infusion of flavor, I know this sounds a little bit confusing, but once we have this, we'll be able to understand everything very practically. Rashi says that any case in which it's a secondary infusion of flavor, that's going to be allowed to be eaten together with cheese. So again, that's so far a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos, whether it's limited to this case or it even applies to a case, the more common case of cooking. And there's the third opinion, which is the Sefer HaTruma, which basically says that in principle, it does not apply, the Gemara is limiting the case, and it would not apply to cooking, but he distinguishes between different types of cooking, between whether you're cooking with a liquid, which is what we call cooking, or whether you're roasting, a dry type of cooking. Foods that are cooked in a liquid, there we would say that you're allowed to eat it with cheese, because there it's sort of three steps removed. Because you have the meat where it was cooked in the pot, the meat flavor from the meat going into the pot is step one. Then, since you have water as the medium which you're cooking, the flavor goes from the wall of the pot into the water, and then it goes from the water into the food. But when you would put something if you would be cooking it in the fleshic pan or something without any liquid, then it's going direct, the secondary flavor is going directly from the walls of the fleshic pan into the parav item. And in that case, you would not be allowed to eat it with the meat. But in the case when you cook it, you would be able to, again, because it's weakened every time, we're assuming that it's weakened every time it moves. We're not doing anything practical yet, because we have to figure out what the halacha is. So we're going to get to everything practical. I just need to, again, this is a little bit confusing. If we don't get this all, it's unfortunate, but it's not the end of the world. Well, I don't want to talk so much about the sakana issue, but if you can eat it with cheese, then there's probably no sakana also. The reason that we don't eat, I'm sorry. Why don't we eat meat together with fish? They're both kosher. The Torah doesn't say anything. The only reason is that the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, that it's dangerous to eat meat and fish together.
So what if it was a hard-boiled egg?
What if what was a hard-boiled egg?
What if it was an egg and not a piece of fish in the
So that's what we're going to get to everything practical soon. This is everything is going to come from this. I guarantee you. We're going to cover the practical. Just, it sounds like I kind of make it up if we don't have this background. I need to at least understand how it's fitting into the general, rules. So that's this machlokas in the, that's the machlokas in the Rishonim. So if we take that, so then in the, if we go back to the case of the, Mrs. Lefferts's, of her fish. So the fish was cooked on the grill and put on a meat plate. So this case, according to everybody, the fish can be eaten together with cheese. Because, again, even the most stringent opinion said that when the Gemara says that you take the fish and you put it onto the meat plate, you're allowed to eat it with cheese, said that it's limited to that case. But in that case, everybody agreed. The question was, if you're cooking it or if you're roasting it or something else, but putting it onto the plate, putting the hot parav item, which was onto the fellatio plate and then eating it with cheese, so that everybody agreed is going to be okay. So again, that's, again, I guess we'll call step one. Whether there's no transfer or it's so diminished that it's not significant, halakhically it's not significant. So that you can take the fish that was hot and put on the fleshik plate, and then you can put your, again, take it off the fleshik plate, and then you can pour your cheese sauce or whatever on top of it, and you can eat it together with cheese. But the question is how do we paskin in terms of the cooking question? Because the cooking question wasn't the case of the Gemara. That was this machlokas, how to interpret the case of the Gemara. So here, the Rama rules in Shulchan Aruch that we show deference for the opinion, for the most machmir opinion. And therefore, items that are cooked in a fleshik pot, even if they're pariv, should not be eaten together with milchiks. That's what the Rama says, but the Rama qualifies it, and the Rama says that there's going to be a distinction between what we would call benyomo and not benyomo. Which is why I was trying to say this, every important aspect that you need to know in answering any question in kashrus comes together in this one issue. The issue of benyomo is that we assume that the taste which is imparted into a pot is can only have a positive effect on something else that is cooking within 24 hours. Once 24 hours passes, then whatever has been absorbed into the walls of the pot becomes what we call spoiled. It's not good anymore. It's no same time with gam. Any flavor it's going to give is going to have a negative effect on the food. And therefore, if it was done, we don't allow you to do it lechatchila, which is why we have separate dishes. There were Rishonim who wrote that you don't have to have two sets of dishes. You just have to make sure not to use the same dishes within 24 hours. The Ra'ah, one of the biggest Rishonim, writes explicitly he had one set of dishes in his house. And he just made sure that within 24 hours he didn't use the same dishes he made sure that there was 24 hours between using it for fleshik and milchik, because he assumed that even the chatchila you were allowed to, after 24 hours, mix it, allowed to use the same vessel. So we assume that you're not allowed to do that, but that's why one of the most important questions that you'll always be asked anytime you have a kashrus question is when was the last time the pot, the spoon, or whatever it was used, because we have a room to be made till, we can be lenient if it's after 24 hours. So that's going to play a role. That's going to play a role here as well. Because yes,
is oven the same thing as pot?
For most things. Most everything is going to be the same. Most everything is going to be the same. If it's not the same, we'll try to point it out. But almost everything is going to be the same.
No, but the oven you said all it has to do is cool. There's no issue with 24 hours.
Because you're not cooking in the walls of the oven. I mean, the oven's going to have a little bit more room to be lenient.
Right.
Right. Okay.
That doesn't, liquid or no liquid doesn't matter. Right.
Let's wait till we get there. Let's try to go one step at a time so we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. So that's what the Ramah says. Okay, so again, the Ramah said that we are concerned with the opinion that this Gemara was not allowing par of food that was cooked in a fleshik pot to be eaten directly with cheese. But then he says that's only if the pot had been used for fleshiks within 24 hours. If it had not been used for fleshiks within 24 hours, it was an old flavor in that pot, then we would no longer be concerned with the flavor that goes into the par of food and we are allowed to eat with milk. I'm going to show how it applies in specific cases afterwards.
No, but then when do you care how the flavor tastes?
Always.
Always?
That's always the question of the 24 hours.
Is not milk because it tastes good?
No, but if you have a flavor which is getting into something else, meaning you have something which is forbidden, getting into something which is permitted, so the rule is that even a forbidden flavor, if it's not a good one, isn't forbidden. Again, you can't eat a spoiled piece of pork, lechatchila, but that piece of pork which is moldy, if it gets into your soup, so again, if it actually gets absorbed, but if the actual piece is there, you have to take the piece out. But if the flavor gets in, then the flavor isn't a positive flavor anymore, and it wouldn't actually.
Something like it's spoiled, or what if the flavor just doesn't go? What if it's a savory dish and you have something?
So that would also be a significant point. If you get, if you're, I don't know, you have fleshik tomatoes mixing with ice cream or something. I don't know, two flavors that don't mix together at all, so that would also might be Nosin Thomas Tam. Didn't we talk about this in one of the... Maybe we didn't. I don't know, I don't remember if we did. Somewhere we did. Maybe we didn't talk about it in this context. Okay, so that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah says that our being concerned for the opinion that power of food cooked in a fleshik pot cannot be eaten together with milk is limited to when the fleshik pot was used for fleshiks within 24 hours. If it was after 24 hours, then we're not concerned, and then you can take whatever it was that was cooked in the power of food cooked in the fleshik pot, and you can eat it together with cheese. Oh, the chatchila. The Ramah says that We're concerned for the opinion of Tosfos that a food that was cooked in a pyre of food that was cooked in a fleshik pot is not allowed to be eaten together with cheese. But he says this concern is limited to when the fleshik pot had been used within 24 hours. If it had not been used within 24 hours, then we don't go so far as to be concerned, since it's a bad flavor anyway, so we don't have to be concerned with this opinion of Tosos. No?
But that's why we have two sets of pots, because we don't hold by that.
But that's when it's coming to a direct infusion. Here we're talking, everything we're talking about today is when it's called a not for not. No, because we want to cook milchiks in the pot. That's a direct infusion of flavor. Everything we're talking about is talking about a secondary infusion of flavor. When you're cooking something parv, so then the flavor is two steps removed. But if you cook milchiks in a fleshik pot, so we might only have to kosher the pot because you weren't supposed to do it, but there's a direct mixture of the flavors. They're not meeting in the middle. We didn't get to anything practical yet. We're almost there. We're almost at the practical. This is the background of why the halacha is this way. Then we're going to apply the halacha. Right now, I'm just trying to explain that I didn't make this all up, and that this is really a culmination of everything that Yoreh Day is about. No, we're talking about a pot. We're talking about a pot. In terms of what? If the grill is fleshy?
If the grill was carved.
Right.
Because you get it
So that was the case of the Gemara. Tosfos said, only the case of the Gemara is when you're allowed to eat it with cheese. If you cook it, then it doesn't apply. In a pot, it doesn't apply. There were Rashi and others disagreed with Tosfos and said that this leniency of allowing you to eat it with cheese even applies when you cook it. So basically what the Ramah says is that the strict halacha is technically like Rashi and not like Tosfos, and you should be allowed, even when you cook it, to eat it together with cheese. But since Tosfos has this opinion, in deference to the opinion of Tosfos, when it's within 24 hours and the flavor is a positive flavor, so there we're going to be machmir like Tosfos, and we're not going to allow you to eat it with cheese. But if it's after 24 hours, then we will allow you to. One final point, and then we'll get to the practical, because, yeah, I think that's what we should do. One final point is that there's a chumrah of the Chachmas Adam, which is that he says that even when the Ramah said that if the pot has not been used within 24 hours, you're allowed to eat that which is cooked in the fleshic pot, which hasn't been used in 24 hours, you're allowed to eat it with cheese, that's only if you didn't intend to, when you cook it, to eat it with milchix. But to l'chadchila do it when you're intending to, the Chachmas Adam says one should not do that. Okay. That's the background. Now we'll apply it because it's better. I'm sorry? Well, you have to be honest with yourself. I don't think it's so, I don't think it's too hard to be honest with it. We'll see. We'll talk about it. Okay. So let's talk about different stages of par things, and we'll try to make sure that everything is clear. So the first case that we have, which is not something that we've talked about until now, is what happens if you have a power of ingredient. You have potatoes, and the potatoes were cooked in your chalent with meat. Right? The potatoes are power, and I'm only eating the potatoes. So, in my flesh, what's the status of that potato? So in that case, if you only eat the potatoes from your chalent, you are 100% completely fleshic, and you have to wait, however long you normally wait. Again, we don't look at what you're picking out of the chalent. It was all cooked together in one pot. If something was cooked together, again, we're not talking about things coming out of the walls of the pot. There actually is meat together in your pot, together with your parv, and you just want to pick out the things that are parv. So you throw an egg into the chalent. The Shulchan Aruch is explicit that the reason the egg turns brown is because things can penetrate the shell of the egg. And the same thing is true of the meat flavor, and therefore those are what we call fleshic eggs. These eggs would make you 100% fleshic as if you ate a piece of meat. Again, that's one case of power. That's not really what we were talking about till now, but important to note. Probably not, because you're supposed to eat a kazayas of basar. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have basar on Shabbos. Gunt if you do. Shabbos is a din of kavod Shabbos, and since nicer food is generally the fleshic food, that's probably better. Okay. Fine, now let's get to now what happens if you're cooking noodles in a pot that was used for chicken soup in the last 24 hours? You finished making your chicken soup on Thursday night, and then you want to make noodles to put it. You clean out the pot. Again, everything that we're going to talk about is assuming the pot is clean. If your pots are dirty, then clean them. Then you're not going to get these cool. If there's actually fleshic in there, then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about clean pots. So now, if you made your chicken soup in a pot on Thursday night, you clean out the pot, and now, before Shabbos, which is within 24 hours, you want to make noodles in that same pot to put into whatever. We'll see what you want to do. And then you want to make noodles for Shabbos. So what's the status of those noodles? So certainly to put the noodles in the chicken soup is fine. It's all, everything is fleshic. But the noodles are inherently parav. So again, based on what we said in the Ramah, since we're talking about a pot that was used for meat within 24 hours, so then we are stringent like Tosfos. And therefore, those noodles that are cooked in a pot that was used within 24 hours cannot be used for macaroni and cheese. You can't take those noodles and then use them to make lunch whenever he comes home on Friday and want macaroni and cheese. Okay, since that pot was used within 24 hours. However, it does not make you fleishik. You eat those noodles alone. You do not have to wait anything afterwards. And even more than that, is you can eat it together in the same meal as your milchik, as long as the cheese and the noodles don't touch. You can have it on the table. It shouldn't be eaten together. I don't think you have to wash out your mouth in between bites, but it shouldn't be eaten together. The first thing or the second thing? The first thing, no. The second thing, presumably not also. Right, but we're being mekel, right? The chumrah still within 24 hours is to be concerned with the opinion of Tosos, and Tosos didn't care about the water being a step removed, right? It's the chumrah of the Ramah. By the way, for any Sephardim, the halachos in all these cases might be different. Just a warning, and this is the halach according. There's a very very long Ramah at the beginning of the siman. And everything is really based on that Ramah. So again, if your noodles are cooked in a pot, the power of noodles cooked in a pot that was used within 24 hours for fleishik, those noodles cannot be eaten directly with cheese. They don't make you fleishik. They can even be eaten on the same table in the same meal as milchik, but the two should not meet. Now, what if I accidentally made macaroni and cheese out of those noodles? I wasn't supposed to, but I did. So in this case, you would be allowed to eat it. Because again, me'ikar hadin, really we assume that any time that there's cooking taking place, then like Rashi says, then this halakha of the Gemara applies that you're allowed to eat it with cheese. So l'chatchila, we have this chumrah that we're concerned with the opinion of Tosfos, and therefore we don't allow it to be done within, again, with Ramah limiting it to within 24 hours. But if one does it, then you don't have to throw out the food. You can still eat it. But again, it should not be done. So that's, I guess, the first class of cases. Now, what if the pot has not been used in 24 hours? Again, everything that we're saying is reversible. I'm just trying to keep it in one direction. So we're going to be done with the fleishik pot and eating it with cheese. But everything would be true with the milchik pot and eating it with fleishik as well. But what if the pot has not been used in 24 hours? So here everything is better, because you're allowed to cook and eat it together with the cheese, and even l'chatchila, right? That's what we said. The Ramah says that we're not concerned about this chumrah of saying that this gemara doesn't apply to cooking if the pot has not been used within 24 hours. So if you have your pot from your chicken soup and it's all clean, and you make your noodles in it after 24 hours has passed, then you can use those noodles for macaroni and cheese. And that's the chatchila.
And that's with the intent?
No, we didn't get to intent yet. No intent. Now, can... Let's say... And you have leftovers. If you're intending to have leftovers, that might be a case of intending. But right. Let's say you make the kids come home for supper, and you make a pot of macaroni, and that's going to be used that was made in a fleishik pot, and you were planning on using it for meatballs and pasta, and that was what supper is. And then your husband comes home, and he finds that there are no remnants of any meatballs remaining. And he sees there's macaroni in the fridge, so he doesn't know what it was cooked for. He can l'chatchila. There's no reason that he can't take those noodles and use those noodles to make himself macaroni and cheese. But I don't think that you can intend that, you know, before Shabbos, I'm going to make a pot of noodles that's going to be good for the week, and it'll be used. You know, some of it's definitely going to be planning that some of it's going to be used for the soup Friday night. And some of it's going to be used for macaroni and cheese on Sunday. But again, if there are leftovers, and if it's not intended, or if you want to make sure to have just to have noodles around in case somebody wants it. You're not really thinking much about anything. In all those cases, you can do whatever you want with it, even if you're going to be eating it with the opposite type of food. Then everything, then you can do whatever you want with it, right. We'll get the containers. Why? I'm not sure. The Chachmas Adam, whether it's that he doesn't want people to become, mixed up, that once you start, once you're starting to intend to cook in one for the other, then there's a good chance you're going to come to do it even if it's within 24 hours. And therefore, again, as long as you're intending, the same idea. In truth, we don't need so much power of utensils, as you'll see. You know, if it's within 24 hours, and you know you're not using it, you need to make it for both, you can always make it in the, you can always make something in a milchik pot and use it for the milchiks, or in the fleshik pot, use it for fleshiks. There are very limited times when you need to make it for both. As long as you know what you're using it for, you can do it in the other pot. But we try to be careful.
I don't know. For Shabbos, and you say whatever we decide to use it for. You may use it for Shabbos lunch. You may use it for Shabbos and Malkus. Or does it have to explicitly be for the purpose of Pleishah? And then if you have leftovers, you have it for Shabbos.
You have to know what you normally do. Meaning, if the case is that you know if you're intending to make it for Shabbos, it's going to be used for both, and you know the pot's going to be used for both, then it's basically intending it for that purpose. No, so I think that far you don't have to go. Again, because it's, again, since we're just talking about, it happens to be, in this case, it's much better than a 24-hour case. Here, the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Chachmas Adam. The Vilna Gaon seems to say that you can even intend to do it for the opposite. He's not concerned about this. Accepted practice is like the Chachmas Adam. So again, we try to be machvir and that you shouldn't intend for the opposite, which again, usually isn't such a big deal. And not 24 hours, after 24 hours. Right, that's also 100% fine. And the noodles were not made with any specific intention, or they were made to use for milchiks, and there were leftovers, you can use those leftover noodles for your chicken soup, or whatever it is. Okay. What if no other pot is available? I only have a fleshik pot. It hasn't been used in 24 hours, and I need to make macaroni for macaroni and cheese. So I'm going to be intending that this macaroni should be used for milchik, but I don't have another pot available. Why would it change the halacha? Because again, the whole thing is a chumrah. So how far do we have to go? How far do we need to be machmir? So Chachmas Adam thinks that you have to borrow a pot. Instead, you should try to borrow a carved pot or a pot of a milchik pot if you're going to be using it for milchik. If you can't find one, then I think that it's okay. And even if no pot is available of the appropriate type, and the pot hasn't, again, only talking now, if it hasn't been used for fleshiks within 24 hours or whatever we're talking about, whichever class we're talking about, it hasn't been used within 24 hours, then you are allowed to, even intending, do it if no other pot is available. Okay. That hasn't been used in 24 hours.
Can they be made into some kind of a parva dish that serves warm on milk dishes?
We're going to talk about what dishes you can put things on soon. We'll get there. That's another step. We're going to talk about storing also. We'll get to your containers. Okay. So we're up to it right now. How do you like that? So can you put? Okay. Those are the basic halachas. Now we're going to get into some more details. So now we're actually going to move back to stuff that was cooked in a ben yomo pot. A pot that was used for within 24 hours. So can you put food cooked in a ben yomo meat pot onto a milk plate? Again, that's basically the case of the Gemara, right? Well, it wasn't a case of cooking, but it's basically the same idea. You have the thing which has the absorption of the natbar not into it. Can you then put that onto the opposite plate? So here the halacha would probably be the same. Basically, the halacha is yes, you are allowed to put it, but if you're intending to eat it with dairy, you should not put it onto a meat plate when it's hot. Again, for the same reason that the Chachmas Adam gives. But basically, if you have something pariv, which was cooked in a meat pot, you can put it, even when it's hot, onto a milchik plate. Okay. Say it again. You can take something that was cooked even in a ben yomo fleishik pot, and you can put it, when it's hot, onto a milchik plate. Directly. Not pouring. Pouring is a different story. If it's liquid and pouring is more complicated. You should put it into something else in between. That's even within 24 hours. It's a kula. Even if the pot was used within 24 hours, so the food that you're... This food can't actually be eaten directly with cheese. Right? This pot of food which was cooked in a pot, these noodles, you can't knock any cheese out of them because it was used within 24 hours. You're still allowed, if you want to serve it, if everything else you're serving during this meal is going to be milchik, and you want to make sure that you don't end up having to put a fleishik plate for these noodles on the plate and everything's going to get mixed up, you can take those noodles cooked in a fleishik pot even within 24 hours and put them onto a milchik plate to serve it. You can't put the cheese on top of it, but it can be served on that milchik plate.
And eaten with milchik, but not touching.
Right. Right.
So it's the milk plate, or not really?
What do you mean? You can't eat directly with the cheese. Again, you have to figure out what dishes you're making, but it can't be eaten directly with cheese. Okay. No, so it might come up if you're serving it as a different course, but meaning you don't want half the plates that you're going to be dealing with in the kitchen to be fleishik plates from the appetizer, and the other ones are going to be milchik from the meal. So this way, you can serve it on milchik plates, even though it can't be indirectly with cheese. That would be a good example of when this would be practical. Again, just to avoid the problem of afterwards trying to make sure that the plates will end up in the right place. Okay. If you put hot parv food, this is the same case, 1 second. No, it's similar, it's not the same thing. Okay. What's the halacha? If you take hot parv food, and let's say this parv food was even cooked, that's basically the case of the Gemara. If you take hot parv food, which was cooked, let's say, in a parv pot, and you put it onto a cold fleishik plate, can you then take it off and eat it together with milchik? So here also the halacha would be that you can. You can take it again because it didn't absorb directly from anything. And it's basically that same case of the Gemara where everything is coming from something, is coming from two steps removed. Okay, now some more practical cases. I need to boil water for my challah recipe. I remembered. Can I boil it in a milchik pot? Can I boil it in a milchik pot? Okay, so we'll see if you have to do that or not. So again, if we're talking, assuming that the challah is going to be eaten together with fleishik, generally is the case. So if we're talking about ben yomo, so certainly you can't do it, because if you do it and then put the water in the challah has the meat flavor in it, again, even though it's a step removed. I'm sorry, it has the milchik flavor in it, right? The milchik flavor in it. And therefore, using it to put, if you're going to make a deli sandwich out of it or eat it dip it in your chicken soup or put chalent on it, whatever you want to do with mixing together, all those things are going to be problematic because it was used within 24 hours. What if it wasn't used within 24 hours? So then it would depend on your intention. If normally you would take, or you know people take pieces of the challah and eat it together with the fleishiks, so then it shouldn't be done because then it's intending to use it for together with the fleishiks. But if not, then not. Okay. If it's a minimal amount, it could be that different. But even if that's the case, the question would be why lechatchila, maybe you should still be careful. But okay, if it's that little, then maybe it wouldn't be so significant. No, it definitely doesn't make the challah milchik. The question would just be, maybe you can't eat it with fleishiks. Definitely doesn't make it milchik. It can be on your Shabbos table, and you can use it together with your fleishik meal. That's what we said. Even the stuff that was cooked in the fleishik pot can be eaten on the milchik table, but it wouldn't be able to dip it in the chicken soup. So again, it would make more sense if you're making a challah, which is normally used for, if you don't have a pyre of pot or something pyre to boil the water in, to boil it in the fleishik pot than the milchik. If that wasn't what you're intending when you make the challah, just that's what you have to do with leftovers, then you would be able to make French toast with it. You would be able to French toast with it. But if you put cinnamon...
Yeah. If you're boiling in a meat pot and you're putting it into your pot of KitchenAid,
even that, I don't think that's a problem. That's... No, we'll make the fleishik. Or milchik, whatever the opposite was anymore. This one was in the opposite direction, so it's confusing me. It never makes it fleishik or milchik. We're talking about eating the two things together. And your mixture is not eating anything together. Your mixture is hopefully not eating. Right. Right. I don't think so. The food doesn't become anything either. The question is, can you eat that food with the other type?
Why is the food different than a sauce?
It's not different. We haven't had this case. This is a question of the liquid which was cooked, and with the liquid which is now which was infused with a secondary flavor, if you pour that into a different kli, is that going to turn it into milchiks or fleishiks? So that we haven't had. That we haven't been that concerned. Everything we've been concerned about is eating the two things together afterwards. This, it definitely wouldn't make your, wouldn't affect your KitchenAid. Yes?
Okay, so the most practical thing, I make food for Shabbos, parv. It can be potatoes, it can be couscous, and vegetables.
Okay, good.
I have leftovers. And I serve that with a milk container. The most practical thing we all do.
There's an extra issue there. Which is that any food that was on the table during a fleishik meal cannot be served together with milchik. That's a different halacha. That's a halacha because we're concerned that other things from the table the meat on the table might have gotten into. Even the challah. If you keep your challah on the table, regardless of what you boiled your water with, if you keep your challah on the table throughout your Shabbos meal, you cannot use that challah for French toast if it's left over, if you're going to put milk in the French toast. Because, again, there's nothing to do with how you made it. Even if you made everything completely pyre, once it's been on a fleishik table, then we have to treat it, again, not in terms of waiting times, but in terms of how we're going to eat it, what we can eat it with. We cannot eat it with the other type of food. The same thing would be true for milchiks. If you made something pyre together with a milchik supper one night, and there was lasagna on the table, and the next night you have leftovers of that, you cannot serve that the next night together with the fleishiks. So, that's just an added wrinkle in that. But what the leftover stuff that was in the kitchen that never came out, if it was even made in fleishik pots that were not ben yomo, right, not been used within 24 hours, then you could serve it afterwards with a milchik meal. You could even put cheese on top of it. It was on the table?
No. Only what you're saying is only if it's on the table, whatever was on the table, that's what it is.
Right. That's a different halacha. That's not what we've talked about till now. Just
everybody puts an entire challah on the table.
Not in my house. We slice what we eat, and then we bring more out as we need it.
It's on a cutting board.
On the table?
On the table?
Where the chalms and the corned beef and the soup are being passed around? Yeah, then you can't eat it with milk. Correct.
Is it a new one?
It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's not me. That's,
Any side dishes?
No, because we're afraid that the meat got into it. We're not afraid that it absorbs. We're afraid that meat. We're just afraid. I don't know. In my house, things get passed around with, especially with little people around. Sometimes things, you know, drip off. If, the same way they end up on the tablecloth, they could certainly end up in one of the other dishes. Okay. While they're boiling, or when they're not boiled?
After they're hard and cool.
Yeah, for sure. That's fine.
And the slicer can be used for either.
For either.
And you can rational pot from
the sponge and then the next use with the sponge?
The only issue with the sponge is if there's real cheese or real meat inside the sponge. Because then if you wash something with hot water, definitely without soap, and there's actually meat in the sponge, that's why most people try to have a powered sponge. It's only because of that, just because sponges, it's hard to get everything out of the sponge. And if you have real cheese, once cheese gets on a sponge, then you have to throw it out. But otherwise it wouldn't be a problem. But it's only because often with sponges things get absorbed, then I would be more careful.
What if you use a flish of pot?
Okay.
And the thing that's in it is not, let's say, yazolet, so it's not hot, you're not actually cooking. You're using it maybe even just as mixing.
Okay, so it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything.
We're going to talk about storing, whether you should store. We're going to get to the containers. Okay. So the flip side to the boiling the water for the challah would be, can I boil water in a fleshik pot in order to have water for my coffee that I'm going to put milk into? So again, if we apply what we have, what we've seen so far, if I know that I always drink my coffee with milk, then it's not going to matter if the fleshik pot had been used within 24 hours or not. Either way, you're not allowed to do it. If it's been used within 24 hours, then you're not allowed to put the milk in. If it hasn't been used in 24 hours, then that's obviously, if I'm intending for the coffee, I'm also intending for the milk. Unless I don't always drink coffee. If I drink the coffee, sometimes black, sometimes with milk, and then I decide later I want the milk, so then you're, that's fine, because then you're not intending for it. But if you know that you always drink the coffee with the milk, then you would not be able to boil, even in Eino Ben Yomo, Pleishik pot, water for coffee. That makes sense, right? With everything else, good. Okay. Which one? Shouldn't be served with milk. It's not place. It shouldn't be served with milk. Like, you don't like it, or you don't understand this?
No, I don't. Practically speaking, in my house at this stage of my life, I'm not seeing it happening.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it.
I don't know. I don't see. I don't remember. There you go.
But I've been doing this for, you know, nearly 30 years, and it's like news to me. That's how I feel.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm happy. I'm sorry. I don't know which one. It's not a noodle. It's in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Shulchan Aruch. Okay.
It was not used within 24 hours.
Good.
Okay. And then I took the mushroom out, and I didn't know whether I was able to put cheese on top of it and put it in my microwave. So I just used our cheese with my microwave. But I did wonder whether I was able to use regular cheese and put it in my microwave. That same mushroom made in a place.
So again, it could.
Hours.
Right. So again, so for sure, if you didn't intend for the cheese, for sure that's okay. If you did intend for it, it could be that an oven is better than everything else that we're talking about. Because again, as we spoke about in part two, it's not clear that every single thing that we put into an oven is automatically going to absorb from the walls. It's not touching the walls. So the things that produce a lot of steam, which generally is things that are more liquidy, so there we have to be concerned that something got in from the walls, and then it would be much more similar to this case. A mushroom probably doesn't produce, if not cooked as liquid.
Watery?
So if it ends up being a lot of water, so then maybe... then. If you cover almost anything, it's going to, when you open it up, it's going to steam.
So in that particular case, would I have been allowed to steam on?
If you didn't intend for it for sure, if not, then probably. Because an oven still might be better than what we're talking about.
If it's covered, it's not even more protected?
No, if it's covered, then you can do anything you want with it. If it's covered, you could have put it into the Felicia oven with the cheese on it already. That's the question, is if we have to be, the oven might be better than all this. That's what we talked about, last time. Could be an oven is even better because, again, it's not absorbing the same way. It's not directly getting in. Probably. Right. But for sure if you didn't intend to, but even if not, then an oven's still probably better. Okay. We have to get to the storing things. Can I store cold parve soup in a clean meat container if I intend to serve it with dairy? Right? Cold parve soup in a clean, okay, in a meat container, and I intend to serve it with dairy. The answer is yes. Again, if another container is available, so then... with what? If it's hot...
Are you saying soup versus rice or noodles? No.
I
What if it's hot? That's another one.
If it is hot, one second. If it's hot, then it's like the case of putting it on a plate, right? If we had before, if you have hot parve food on a cold meat plate, it can be eaten with dairy. But there it's better, there the issue, since it's hot and there may be absorption, so there it's better if you intend to, then you probably shouldn't do it. But if you did, you certainly can. If you had made a parve of soup and put it in a Felicia container because that was what you had and you're not thinking about much of anything, and you put it in when it was hot, you would still be able to eat it with milchiks.
But can you do it in a milchiks pot?
Yeah, you can eat with milchiks. You can also heat up a milchiks pot.
Wait a second, but that's what I mean. I think...
Wait, you put the Felicia container, right?
Hot parve soup in a Felicia container and serve with milchiks, meaning I could make it into French onion soup?
If you didn't intend that from the beginning.
If you didn't intend
that.
Okay. But only if you didn't intend
that. If you didn't intend
that. What people would say.
Well, if you know, but if you... That's good. If you don't intend, then you're fine. You don't have to specifically intend to use it with the same one. It's only if you intend to use it with the opposite. So if you're making soup because you have nothing better to do and you have no idea how you're going to use it in the future, then you're fine.
I'm counting how many parve utensils I have to get. So far I've got...
You don't need many.
To boil water and to make parve...
You don't need many parve utensils.
Right.
If you want to make one big pot...
Storage item as well, just in case.
For the cases where you're going to want to use it for both. But if you want to, the case where, like, I don't know, in my house, the parve pot is most frequently used for noodles, because we usually just make the noodles in large quantities to be used for both. You know, make the noodles for Shabbos, we assume are going to be used for the macaroni and cheese on Sunday also. So we always make sure to make the noodles in a parve pot. That's the most common use of the pot. In a Ziploc bag. You could split it. If it's cold, then there's no problem. If you wait for it to cool down, then for sure it's not a problem what you put it into. This is if you put it when it's hot, then you shouldn't do it if you're intending for the opposite. then you're probably not intending anything if you're in rush before Shabbos. You're probably okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to go to onions too much tonight, but okay. 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 Meat is complicated. Oh. Real meat? So that's the question. If meat has fat on it, then knives specifically might be a problem. Yeah, we assume that it's hard to get the grease or whatever it is that the meat has off the knives. So it would be better not to. Better not to. It might. Again, other than onions, what exactly is kharif? I've seen pineapples being kharif. So there's plenty of room to. It's acidic. I think that's what they. I think those that say that it's kharif assume that it's acidic. And then you have lemons. It opens up a whole new world.
Can I make kharif soup?
Because anything you want.
In a melted pot and a fleshy pot and use my immersion blender for both.
Mm-hmm. You have two pots of soup.
Two separate soups.
Cooking at the same time?
Not even
oh no!
Different time.
Yeah, can you?
It's the same immersion blender. The immersion blender is only used for soups, and it's always par soups. But sometimes they're cooked in milk pots, and sometimes they're cooked in vegetable pots. I mean, it's all vegetables.
Right,
and
right.
And the soup is hot when soup is hot when I immerse. But there are onions in the soup.
Oh, we're not going to onions. Onions are a problem.
Okay, well, I just want.
If there were no onions?
If there aren't, there's always onions.
If there are onions, then you potentially have a problem. That just depends on at what point the onions absorb the flavor from the non-par pot. But something not made in the pot, cooked onions don't absorb. Cooked onions aren't considered to be kharif. Only raw onions are considered to be kharif. But if you put the cooked onions into the pot, then it already became like. What happened? Right. Right, but if you had already cooked onions and then you throw them into the pot, then okay. You're making in a different pot? If you have onions cooking in a soup of one type, then you have a very different issue than everything we've talked about till now. A lot of these kugels don't apply to onions.
Okay, now if you do that again, you have onions in your chicken soup or vegetable or whatever you want, a vegetable soup, who cares?
Right.
Do you have to have two separate immersion blenders?
If you're dealing with onions, then you probably should.
They're already cooked by the time you're dealing with
I know, but they're already fleshic by the time they're cooked. Because the beginning of the cooking, they became fleshic. They may. There's a question if blenders are the same thing. We assume that when a knife cuts into an onion, so if it's a fleshic knife, it turns the onion into a piece of meat, basically. Now that's talking about when it's raw. The question is when you have like food processors and things like that, don't apply pressure the same way knives do. Are they the same or not? That's the machlokas in the poskim. That's a little beyond. I didn't say that. We'll talk about it. No, that's not why. Right. Some say yes and some say not. That's a question of the sakana. How far do you take the concerns? I think we generally assume. I think we generally assume that you don't have to have separate pots for fish, and you can cook fish in your fleshic fleshic pot. If you have a family minagad eating them, grill may be worse. A grill may be worse because there are pieces left.
What if you get any grease? No.
You get any grease? Okay. Yeah, at the figure out what state of charcoal it's at, but the grill, If you're planning on grilling both, it's a different question than we're dealing with till now. It might be a problem. Might be a problem. Anti-aluminum foil won't rip. As long as it doesn't rip. I don't care if it sticks or doesn't stick. As long as it doesn't rip. I thought you were going to ask something better. I'll ask you this, which I'm not sure what the answer is. What about washing your power in your fleshic dishwasher without fleshic items in it? Why not? I don't know why you can't. I've been working on this for a few days. There's no fleshic in it. Right, not together with fleshic. Because again, if there are pieces, again, everything we talked about in terms of these halachos of fleshic was always that everything is clean. No, I don't even know if 24 hours is going to matter for this. Because it doesn't cook in anything. It spritzes. It spritzes. Spritzing is different. Eroy, when it's a stream of water is different than actually cooking in water. If your dishwasher is really clean and there's no fleshics like in that trap or anything else, and the racks are clean of fleshics, I don't see a reason why you can't put parav into the dishwasher. Again, not together with fleshics, but if the dishwasher is clean, there's no fleshics in it, but you have the mixer bowl and all those other things.
The temperature of the water is important.
No.
Why
wouldn't you want to do that? I was so excited when this happened. Okay, fine. I think that's the answer. I think the answer is that technically it's okay, but if people want to be more careful, then you shouldn't do it. But I think technically it's okay. If everything is clean.
If you're only cleaning power, this is not that time and not fleshic.
I don't think so.
Classes where I can't remember the guy, but he's from Riverdale, and he's only one of his cousins.
Okay. Rabbi Willing.
He says you don't think you can. If you don't,
I think so. Also. If everything is clean. Everything is clean. The sponges, just practically, I don't know how you can make sure there's no cheese or meat in your fleshic sponge. Well,
I don't know, because it's
using separate sponges. Right, she was talking about using the same sponge.
The sink is clean.
Right.
You have a fleshic
sink, and there's nothing fleshic in it yet. So okay. So, I had two questions I kind of asked myself that I didn't have a chance to get answers to, but I think based on what we're saying, we can answer them. If somebody gives you a container of soup that they say is parav, so do you need to inquire what pot it was cooked in originally? Everybody always says, oh, but it was cooked in a whatever. Is there any reason to do that? We assume that most people's pots haven't been used. Most pots in a kitchen have not been used in 24 hours. If you use a pot, you don't remember if it was used in 24 hours, you're allowed to go under the assumption, again, if you're not, unless you're commercially cooking and constantly using every pot. Okay, yeah, so it might apply there as well. I didn't answer the question yet, but I would assume you don't have to ask. Because again, if you can assume that it wasn't within 24 hours, and if it was not within 24 hours, the only problem is if you're intending. So the person who's giving it away, what does their intention have to do with you? No, I don't know. I don't see why you need to inquire what it was used for. I'm not even sure if the person tells you what they intended it for, if that has to affect what you're going through with it or not. That last point I'm not sure about. But if they intended to do something with it, and they intended that it's going to be used. If they're making it for you, I'm not sure why they're intending anything. But if they made it for themselves and they decided to be nice and give you a pot of parv soup that was made in a fleshic pot, and you want to do it in milchik, so I don't know. I don't see why that should be a problem. I don't know. I didn't have a chance. I didn't see anybody talk about those last two cases. Okay, then there's one last important point, is that everything that we're saying has come up in passing does not apply if we're talking about onions and sharp things, because the onions transform everything into being benyomo, and they themselves also have the ability, even though they're parv, to become infused with milchiks or plechiks. So once you're dealing with onions, you're in a completely different situation. The knives can even turn there. I think you can assume that those, again, no, that they don't have the pieces of onion. I don't think it's a problem anymore. When you have a raw onion, they're somehow processed. When you have a raw onion, when you cut a raw onion with a fleshy knife, then you have to treat that onion completely as a piece of meat. If you take that onion and put it into your milchik soup, you have a very serious halachic problem. Those are the main presumed ones. Yeah, even garlic, I think some people disagree with. But basically, onions and garlic. Okay. And you cut the onions. You should cut the onions with the power of knife. If you didn't, so then the potato kugel would have to be treated as fleishik. The question is it's a question whether the food processor becomes fleishik or not. Right. It depends because it doesn't apply pressure in the same way. So that is a machlokas in the post. If it comes up, we can talk further.
That just came up twice.
If you did it. Okay, we'll figure it out. Okay, I know it was a little bit confusing, so what I did was this. I think this is clear. I made a chart. A quick reference guide for power food. I think it's accurate. That's why I didn't give it out at the beginning. Well, that's the only cards I had, so you could bring a shirt on the back. I think it's accurate. I did it very quickly just based on my notes, but it's possible that I made a mistake along the way, but I think it should be fairly clear. Again, all this is assuming like Ashkenazim. We're not talking about sort of Sephardim here. But, right, the first column is the power food is cooked in. The second one means eating with a dairy meal. I wrote in parentheses, but not mixed with actual dairy. That means just putting it on the table, but not if it's going to touch any food that has cheese in it. Eating together with dairy means actually eating the food together with cheese. Then cooking it, intending to eat with dairy, is the next column. Placing it while hot on a dairy dish. And then what happens if it accidentally is mixed with dairy. So hopefully this makes it a little bit less scary. But I don't know why. I suddenly had this inspiration a few minutes before to make this chart. So hopefully this clarifies things somewhat. But that's basically everything you'd want to know about Parv. There may be, again, other technical questions, but these are the basic rules. When you're dealing with an Eino Benyom, where you're going to always be in better shape, that's always the best situation. And when you're dealing with onions, that's always the worst situation. And then everything else falls somewhere in between.